Now, as you'll be aware, this is RIB's 150th anniversary year, and we've been chatting to many blind and partially sighted people from different walks of life, looking at the way life has changed over the years, and generally what it's like on their journey. Now, one man who is a great friend of RIB Connect Radio, a regular contributor, an adventurer, a fundraiser, is Dave Healy, Blind Dave, and he joins us now. Hello.
How are we, sorry?
I'm well, thank you. And a lot of people, and I, myself included actually, class you as somebody who is an inspiration. Is that the way you set out to be?
Well, thank you, but I don't think so. I mean, you know, when I set out some however many years ago it was to do a little bit of running, to basically thank guide dogs for, you know, how they spurred me on initially, and it just turned into a fully fledged and, you know, fully blown up sort of career. If I inspire, if I give people a little bit of hope, then that is brilliant along the way. I do what I do because I enjoy doing it, and I do what I do because I've now got I've met a lot of friends through it as well. You know, I've mentioned Don Key, Gary, he's a mate from Wigan. I met him, many years ago. And I could name a whole host of guides and people that I've met. And we've now got a fabulous team that we all work and pull together. When I first started off, it was simply a half marathon, training for a London marathon. And you think to yourself, I wonder what's going to happen then. Wow, you know, the world opened up for me in respect. And it's been absolutely brilliant since. And I, dare I say it, done a few outrageous things, done a few fantastic adventures, and, you know, people look and they think, wow, you know, but I don't do it for wow. I do it because I want to do it. I do it because I enjoy doing it, and I do it because I want to support, you know, particular charities. But if people get a feeling of, you know, as I always say, if the blind dog codger from West Brom can do this, what can we do? And I hope that is the message. And if people do something from it, then what I have done, I guess, in respect, has been worth it, hasn't it?
Well, there's a documentary coming out probably early next year about your early life and also the big challenge that you were setting up when we first became friends, which was the Sevens Challenge, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Seven marathons in seven continents. And 7 days.
Yes.
And how on earth did you get into that? It was such a mammoth thing.
Well, it was quite by accident. It was like everything happened. Everything sort of was falling into place. I mean, you know, as I said, obviously being blind. Well, my book's out as well, isn't it? You know, but I mean, in the book it tells the story, obviously. But, you know, from when I went blind to not admitted blindness, to somebody recommending a white cane. I went from the cane then to somebody saying, have you thought of a guide dog? And I went, no. So then I went into the guide dog scenario. When I first had my first dog, I'm thinking, wow, this is changing my life. You know, and it gave me such a lot. And then from there on in, I thought, well, I've got to put something back, or I feel I want to put something back, awareness and funding. And then I decided to start running again. I ran my first London Marathon 2002, not expecting or wanting or understanding, crossed the line and things just happened. And it was the same with the Sevens. I'd done a couple of London Marathons, I'd done a couple of half marathons, and I was always looking for that bigger and better sponsor on before. You know, instead of a pound, let's have a fiver, let's have 10, let's have 100. And I actually listened to a radio programme where Sir Arnold Fiennes had just become announced and was explaining how we'd run seven marathons in 7 days on seven continents. And it was just, ooh, that's a good one. I wonder if I can do that. And that is exactly how it started. And then 3, 4, 5 years after that radio program I heard, putting things together, you know, arranging and everything just fell in. And then in 2008, I ran the Sevens. Crossed the finish line in London on the 7th marathon of the 7th of that week, and my life changed so dramatically, and it threw me into a totally new career. So, but that's it. It was as simple as that, sir.
But you go back to your teenage years. I mean, there were some dark times then, weren't there?
Yeah.
I mean, you were a promising track athlete at the time, and you thought that was all finished, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the track, and I enjoyed the cross country. I guess I realised that things were going to happen to me. I didn't want to accept it. That was half the problem. Well, was it a problem? I don't know. He probably spared me onto other things. My career went. I had to pack up all my sport at 16, never thinking, you know, I'd do it again. And then, you know, as you do, you follow a different track, smoking, drinking, nothing wrong with womanising, that was all right. But I gave up all of my, you know, my track, my cross country. In fact, I gave up all sports. I even did a little bit of football, wouldn't you believe? But, you know, and then from there on in, I guess, you know, your life takes another angle. Smoking, drinking. I'm not going to say that I regret that. You know, I enjoyed what I did at the time. Not that proud of it, but hey, it's one of them things. It's where it takes you. My blindness, I tried to hide from myself as much as anybody else and from other people. And it got me into all sorts of trouble. My career in the army went. And it was just, you know, life sort of trundled on. Yeah, there were some good times, some happy times, as I thought, I guess. And I believe that everybody, whether you're a disabled person or whether you're able-bodied or whatever, we all go through or go on these journeys at some point to find exactly who we are. And over the years, stemming back to what I was saying earlier, guide dogs come on the scene. And it had a big bearing on my life. And to be honest with you, I haven't looked back since.
Well, you also had a business, didn't you, for a number of years?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I worked in the construction industry. I was an indoor salesman and a buyer. And as things progressed, I thought, hang on a minute, I can do this for others. Why can't I do it for myself? And so I did. I took a big step. I had a partner. We were 8-9 years as a business. It was going very well. And then sadly, in the early 90s, then the big recession came. The building industry was hit hard. Banks was pulling in all accounts and stuff. And unfortunately, I gathered a debt over Christmas time. And I got took for an awful, awful lot of money. It was nearly £500,000. And in those days, £500,000 now, I don't know, probably represents, you know, £10 million, I don't know. But it was one of them things that I just couldn't pull back from. I tried. And so, bad luck, bad eyesight, and bad debt, it put pain to that. But, you know, even with that, I've always said, if a door slams in your face, sooner or later, if you are prepared to wait and prepared to persevere, another door will open for you. And it certainly did. You know, as I said, stem back to the 2002 London Marathon, that finish line had a big bearing on my life. And it was something as simple as that. It then sort of started taking me into other directions. Sport suddenly became a big part of my life. Sport suddenly became a big part of my life in a fundraising basis as well. Then I got involved with talks, and people wanted me to talk about the experiences of sport, and it led to my life, and then the Saranoff interview, the 7 marathons, and wow. And then my life just opened up again, and it was absolutely incredible.
And as we said at the beginning, this is the 150th anniversary of RNIB, and you've been around for just about half of that, haven't you?
Nearly. Yeah, 10 years behind you. I mean, it seems incredible, actually, Si, that, you know, the RNIB has actually been in existence for 150 years. You know, because when you go back, I mean, I don't know, I'm 150, but I'm guessing, you know, when the RNIB or whoever set up the RNIB to help blind people, it was a great thing. I'm guessing it was a hell of a challenge. And I'm guessing he had or she had a few doors slammed in the faces, because coming through, and I would honestly say, 20, 25 years now, disability was still frowned on. disability was still closeted. Disability or disabled people had doors, you know, slammed in the face. It's still to a degree like that, but certainly not so bad. So I'm guessing, you know, through the RNIB and whoever was the founder, fair play to him.
Mr. Armitage.
Well, there you go. You know, it was a wonderful job that he did to start it. And it's progressed and it's progressed and it's progressed. And the RNIB now is it a countrywide? Certainly. Is it a worldwide, you know, charity? And so, you know, we can all say, do they do us any good? Of course they do us some good. You know, but is it always what you want? But they're there. They're there.
They're there to dip in and out of, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
For various bits of support,
yes,
and advice at times.
Exactly. And, I've had the usage through them. I was fortunate enough to have access to work, and they gave me the opportunity to have various equipment, and it was the RNIB that came out and assessed me and, you know, started me off on the, dare I say, the technology treadmill. But no, and they were there. You know, I've also used them from time to time on the Talking Books service. If you need a little bit of information with reference to, you know, various things that go on around the country, you know, you can pop in and out. I'm not going to say that I use them every single day, because I don't. And I'm not going to say that I actually have a conversation with them on a yearly basis. But I know that the RNIB are there to give some form of guidance if you require it. You know, so I'm guessing other people are well into it and whatever, but it's nice to know that organisations such as these are actually there.
And on the other hand, though, of course, you come and chat to us every week on RNIB Connect Radio, so, you know, you're a part of what the work that we do as a charity.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you to wind up, you know, as you touched on it earlier, you know, things are still not ideal for those living with a disability, but...
Yeah.
Things are on the up, aren't they? But we have to keep fighting.
They are on the up. And I mean, you know, I have a wry smile sometimes, Simon, where there's various disability groups and they're trying to achieve this and they're trying to achieve that. And as much as there's various acts and laws put down now, there's various things where, you know, folk with a disability are treated a lot better. But I don't care what anybody says, there is still a stigma with reference to disability. And we are, I don't think we're even close to the surface of the water yet. But believe you me, we're swimming towards the top. But I think there's still a lot of work that needs to be done, you know, to put us on an even keel. And we could bloat on all day about this, couldn't we, you know. But I still don't think we're there. Like, I'm a blind person. Like, there's many thousands and millions of blind people out there. But this world is still a sighted world. There are people, obviously, you know, hearing problems, deaf. But, again, this is still a sighted world. And everything that you do these days, although that they make provision, there's still things that I can't do and probably never will do. But in 100 years' time, it might be better. But we're making progress. And then you've got somebody like the organisation, which is the RNIB. They are prodding people, and they're moving, hopefully, along on the escalator of life towards, you know, a better life for disabled people. And, hey-ho, we'll get there eventually.
So for those that are listening, we're going to have people listening at various stages of the sight loss journey. And the thing is, I don't think you're ever out of the woods with it, because you can feel down out of the blue at any time with it and sometimes get a bit tired and a bit jaded. Or you might be just at the beginning of this and just full of fear.
Exactly. It just depends on the nature of the person, doesn't it? So, I mean, I was very lucky in respect of, I was diagnosed at a very early age. Didn't want to accept it, didn't want to understand it, didn't want anything to know anything about blindness. But I think coming through, you know, through to my teenage years, it was still in the back of my mind that this was going to happen. My granddad was blind, so I was seeing my granddad, you know, on a weekly basis doing what he did. When the time came for me to actually take up the cane, which I didn't want to, and then the guide dog, you know, to a degree, I was still, I ain't blind, but I was. I think for me, and I'm going to say this is for me, not anybody else, this is for me, I knocked the chip off my shoulder, Simon. I knocked that chip off independence and being pride. And I started accepting help from people. And I started, you know, understanding that kind of thing. And that's when things changed for me. So we've all got a different journey. We've all got a different modem. You know, and I can only talk about blindness because, you know, I can't talk about deafness or other disabilities. But, you know, we all react, we all have, we all act, and we all take the world at a different pace and a different level and with different opinions. I think my opinions have done me okay, and I'm moving along, thank you very much indeed. Would love to see, but can't see. But then I wouldn't be known as Blind Dave, would I? But I'm quite happy, as Deb always says now, I'm very comfortable in my shoes. It's a disability. Does it stop me doing anything? Well, driving Deb's car, but she's very pleased about that, you know. But I think people have got to look upon it, and you can feel sorry for yourself, or you can grasp the world, and you can grab it by the collar and say, I'm going to do something. But it all depends on the nature of who and what you are.
Dave Healy, it's been a pleasure to chat with you as always. Just wanted to thank you for all the time that you give to RNIB Connects Radio, and here's to another 150 years.
Well, indeed, sir. I'd like to say I'm going to be here for the next 150, you know. But who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Dave Healy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for giving us a glimpse into your life.
Cheers, matey. Thanks, Robert.